Hi, this is Deb Perlman of the Smitten Kitchen, and you're listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
When you see perfectly composed, perfect-looking photographs of food, your mouth probably starts watering, and there's a lot that goes into setting up that photograph. Food stylist Roscoe Betzel joins us now to tell us all about what happens behind the scenes and how food stylists work. His client list is very long, includes Random House, HarperCollins, Scribner, Bon Appetit, GQ, Food & Wine, Esquire, Godiva, Williams-Sonoma, The Oprah Magazine, Every Day with Rachel Ray, Field & Stream, Man's Health, Viking Kitchens, and of course, Jell-O. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hello.
Delighted to be here.
Can you take us through what happens when you're called in to style food for a cookbook or a magazine spread?
Generally, they call, and the first thing to decide on is the date that the photographer, the art director, and I are all available at the same time. They generally give me a rough lineup, an idea of how many shots we'll be doing. We determine how long it's going to take to achieve that number of shots. If it's a cookbook, it's obviously a number of days. If it's a magazine editorial shoot, it's generally just 1 or 2 days. We figure out how involved the shots will be, how much time it will take to prepare each dish, and determine what will be involved in terms of ingredients. Once that's all established, we've set up the date, we figure out how much preparation is needed.
And you cook the food yourself?
I shop for the food. I cook the food.
Why not the author of the cookbook?
Generally, an author of a cookbook makes sure that the recipes work, that they're tasty. Their main focus is not to make the food look good. Mm. It often does, just by the nature of what it is. But their primary focus is to create a good, solid recipe.
Well, for you, is it important that you have a culinary background or just know how to take pictures?
For me, I think it's I don't actually take the photograph. I just make sure that
what it's going to look like in the picture.
What it looks like in the picture, precisely. I think it's very important to have a good culinary background. I think to know what makes food appealing requires making it edible. I think there's a lot of truth in what I do, and I think that's what makes food photography appealing, much more appealing today than it has been in years past when a lot of it was faked.
So, we'll talk about that in a moment. Are you testing the recipe as you're making it? If it doesn't come out quite right or needs adjustments, do you let the publisher know about that?
I absolutely let the publisher know about that, and that's an issue that I've dealt with quite a bit during my career. There have been times that I've done this for long enough that I can generally look at most recipes and tell if there's a problem, and I'll go back to the publisher and say this didn't rise or it didn't quite get cooked. I could generally make those adjustments at the time I'm preparing it. If it's a recipe that just seems completely wacky, I'll make it a few times ahead of time to make certain that it will work.
Well, does it matter whether it tastes good or whether it just simply looks good? The fried chicken can still be pink inside as long as the skin or the thing you're putting the breadcrumbs and all of that has browned beautifully.
That is absolutely correct. However, I feel that since I'm making the recipe, I'm one more person who's testing it.
And then you get to
get I should give them the feedback if there's a problem. Most things that I make, I do taste. I actually cook to eat to make the food edible. People question why I use salt and pepper and seasonings. If I'm making the food genuinely, I think that shows up in the photograph. But in terms of, back to your point of not cooking things completely, that often happens. If I have to roast several turkeys in the course of a day, there's not enough time to do that. So I will help it along. I'll use agents to color it. I'll use Gravy Master.
Can you use a blowtorch?
I do use a blowtorch. It's one of the things that's most often used in my arsenal. I will generally, if if there's a time limit, and that's the reason I'm faking it, I will make it look as much as possible like it would really look. I've roasted enough turkeys to know what a roast turkey looks like, and if I paint it and cook it at a really high temperature for a very short period of time and it looks good on the outside, most of us are happy with that.
I'd imagine that by now you've cooked pretty much everything in every possible ethnic cuisine.
I have cooked every possible ethnic cuisine, I think.
High and low food.
High and low. Most recently, probably the most recent recipe that I was given by a very good client, Field and Stream, was to do a fricassee of squirrel. And I considered...
I thought that was Roadkill magazine.
That's not one of my clients. I'm not sure if that's on your list, but it's an error if it is. For the squirrel, I actually did contact a couple of butchers, and they thought I was completely out of my mind.
You can come to my house where the squirrels eat the tomatoes before I get a chance to eat them, and I'll give you as many squirrels as you want.
Well, they eat my tomatoes as well, Leonard, but once I get the squirrel, it's a matter of skinning it and gutting it, and it's so much easier to go to my my rabbit cellar at Union Square Market and to get a nice small rabbit that really looks a lot like a squirrel, especially when it's fricasseed.
Now, I'd imagine also there are some recipes that are really difficult to do. Are you ever intimidated?
Yes, I am intimidated. Some recipes, it's not even so much a matter of the difficulty of executing the recipe. It's a matter of having it hold up and look delicious long enough to be photographed. A souffle is the obvious example. When I shoot souffles, I generally make sure that I have enough souffle dishes so that I can stagger them, make one, shoot it, make another one, shoot it, and hopefully in a situation like that, I've got two ovens that I can just keep them coming out.
My guest is Roscoe Betzel, who is a food stylist. He makes that food look so delectable in the cookbooks and the magazines. So are you doing this all in your studio, in your home, or in the photographer studio?
I generally work either in a photographer's studio or in a rental studio. There are a number of rental studios in Manhattan that are geared primarily for food shoots. They have excellent kitchens. They have most of the equipment that I need. If it's something that requires a lot of time, if it's something that needs to be baked, breads, cakes, I generally do that in my own space and bring the components into the studio and assemble them there.
Well, you mentioned souffles is a problem. I would imagine ice cream would be a serious problem to work with because it melts under the photographer's lights almost immediately.
Ice cream is a serious problem, and it can be shot in a number of different ways. A number of photographers I work with use natural light. They want everything to be really accessible and really real. And if it's something that can be scooped up, it just starts to melt. It looks that much more appetizing.
So you just have to do it very quickly.
Very quickly and often many times. On the other hand, there are times I had an assignment recently that required me to scoop out 6 scoops of ice cream. Different flavors, and they had to be shot, stacked on top of each other in a bowl. And to have all of them at the right consistency long enough to be photographed was a huge challenge. I basically made a scoop, softened the top of it enough so that the next scoop would adhere, froze that using dry ice, and continued that procedure. And it took probably about 3 hours to get the ice cream frozen solid enough and looking good enough to photograph.
For years they used to just have this fake stuff that looks exactly like ice cream. Why are you doing this?
Because it doesn't look exactly like ice cream. It's a mixture of Crisco, corn syrup, and confectioner sugar. It's basically an icing, a very firm icing.
You wouldn't want to eat it.
Which you could scoop out. You wouldn't want to eat it, actually. But I think people have become so sophisticated, they've seen so many photographs that people know that that something's faked. I can look at that mixture and tell right away that it's not.
What about iced drinks like iced tea, where you would want to have a little bit of sweat on the glass.
Well, there are two schools
and,
there.
And aren't there also ice cubes that are made out of glass?
There are ice cubes that are made out of glass or out of acrylic. I do a number of drink advertisements for drink companies. Some of the companies, I find that companies with colored liquors, with scotch, bourbon, they want to see that color, so they don't want the ice to dilute it. So we will use, in that case, fake ice cubes, very good fake ice cubes, handmade. And if it should look like a chill beverage, I will use a solution of glycerin that's sprayed on the outside to make it look like the glass is sweating.
There's a photograph on your website of s'mores that are perfectly gooey with melting chocolate and marshmallow. What goes into setting that kind of photograph up, before the chocolate hardens or before the marshmallow gets too soft?
It requires having a really good and ready photographer, and that photograph was taken by an extraordinarily capable photographer.
I'm sure you're frustrated at times. You've done everything you had to do, and the photographer isn't great.
That has happened. That can be frustrating. Although I have to say, most of the people I work with, I've worked with for a fair amount of time, and I know what their capabilities and, in some cases, limitations are, and they know what mine are, so we make it work.
Magazines usually go to press months before they're printed, so don't July food magazines focus on fruits and vegetables that aren't in season when you have to style them and
they
have them
absolutely do, and making that even a larger problem, most of the summer fruits, the stone fruits, the cherries, the peaches, the apricots, the nectarines, are all available through the winter from the South American markets. But it's just about April that none of those things are no longer available, which is when I generally need them.
Well, I guess what you could do is shoot them when they are available, and then when you get the call in April, say, well, gee, I just happen to have a shot.
In the wrong dish and with the wrong background.
But now, what about the dishes? Do you supply the dishes as well?
Usually not. There is a person I work with who is referred to as a prop stylist. They generally get the backgrounds. They get the table surfaces. They supply the dishes, the silverware. And I sometimes do that. If it's I have a number of clients who don't do a lot of food shots, and they need to keep budgets lower. So, and I am capable of doing it. I've worked in the business for long enough to be able to. And although if it's something that's a particularly challenging background, or if it's a very involved setup, I push for someone else to take care of that part of it.
There are so many details involved, things that I might not even be aware of if I were an amateur food stylist until the shot was taken and I realized something went wrong. Can you talk about some of the disasters that have happened?
Yes, I can talk about one that happened very recently. I was hired to do to food style a tailgate party. It was for an anniversary issue for a magazine that's not a food magazine. And we ended up driving to a location that was about 2.5 hours out of the city, and it was literally a parking lot. We needed to grill sausages in the form of a particular logo. So having sausages on a grill arranged in that logo and with fire underneath was particularly challenging, but we got the shot. I was working with a very talented crew, and we managed to get that done. There was also an ice cream cake involved. it was a challenging day.
How do you even get into this business? Do you get into it because you know how to cook, or are there food stylist courses that you can take in a culinary school?
There are some food stylist courses now. When I started, there were not. I actually read an article about someone who was a food stylist, and I thought, this is exactly what I want to do. I've loved cooking. I've cooked since I was a child, and it's always been a hobby. I've also had I have a fair amount of experience with fine arts. I've taken art classes, drawing classes, sculpting classes. And though I like to cook, it's not something that I'd like to do in a restaurant setting. I have done that in a restaurant setting, and it's just not for me. I found out that there was this occupation of food stylist, and I went to cooking school, figuring that would be a good way to get my credentials.
Just one more thing. A listener left a question on our website asking if you have any tips for food bloggers to make their food photographs turn out better.
Well, it's not something I've given a lot of thought to, although, yes, I think one thing...
You want to have a little shadow on one side, don't you, so that it has some look of volume?
Well, that can be helpful. I find that having the cleanest, simplest shot makes me happiest. When I take pictures of my own food, if I'm developing a recipe, for example, or if I'm pitching a recipe to a magazine, I try to take a picture that basically just shows the food. The plate's white, there's very little background, and I try to get fairly close to it and to make sure that at least part of it is very well illuminated and very much in focus.
Roscoe Betzel is a food stylist, and it's been my great pleasure talking with you today.
It's been a pleasure for me. Thank you.